Greetings, everyone. Good to see all of you. We had a nice drive down from Tulsa. We had a lot of spiritual conversation, and everything went super great, and I'm kind of charged up. So happy to see all of you here today on this holy day. As most of us know, God's holy days reveal and picture the major events of God's master plan for all of mankind. And in that master plan of His, our purpose for living and the process of salvation is laid out for us from beginning to end. And without the holy days, I'm not sure we could fully understand God's plan for us. Maybe some here and a little there. But these days, logically and chronologically, piece together and outline God's purpose and His gift of salvation for all of us. Today is the Feast of Weeks. Today is the Feast of Harvest, the day of first fruits, the day of Pentecost. We can call it whatever we like. All of these different names reveal different aspects of this festival day. This day has a lot to do with harvesting. It has a lot to do with first fruits. It has a lot to do with counting. Counting days and weeks to arrive at this holy day. It also has a lot to do with God's Spirit, the power and the force of the great God that we serve, that Spirit that gives us understanding of the deeper things of God. Well, I want to focus in my message this morning on the Holy Spirit aspect of this day. I want to show that God's Spirit was not only poured out in the New Testament, but that it was also very active in the Old Testament at special times. The link between God's Spirit and this holy day is that God's Spirit must be in us for us to be spiritually harvested for life eternal. God's Spirit must be in us for us to be first fruits at Christ's coming. So that's the link of God's Spirit in this day of first fruits. Now, some in the Christian world who are attending other churches today may understand indeed that today is Pentecost, or Whit Sunday, as most of them would call it. The Catholic Encyclopedia references this day of Pentecost or Whit Sunday as, quote, a feast of the universal church, which means Catholic Church, which commemorates the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles 50 days after the resurrection of Christ on the ancient Jewish festival called the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. Whit Sunday is so called from the white garments which were worn by those who were baptized during the vigil of this day. End quote. So, the Christian world, on the surface, to some degree, understands a little bit of this day. But they don't comprehend the fullness of this day yet. Someday they will. Someday they will see the fullness of this so-called festival of weeks, of spiritual harvesting of the first fruits who have God's Spirit. They'll understand that in their time. It's just not their time yet. But for now, God is sharing the fullness of this festival with only a handful, with those who indeed have the gift of God's Spirit. Now, the first step in understanding this day is to be here physically assembled. We see that in Leviticus chapter 23. That chapter that very neatly summarizes all of God's holy days. You do not need to turn there because you know that chapter. But in verse 16 of that chapter, Leviticus 23, it says, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Excuse me. That is a Sunday. And so that's why we have assembled here on a Sunday. And dropping to verse 21 there, it says, and you shall proclaim on the same day, on this 50th day, that it is a holy convocation, an assembly to you. You shall do no customary, ordinary work on it. So we're not working today in our customary jobs. Of course, a lot of us would be off anyway, being a Sunday, but we're here. We're not working. And those of us who have obeyed this scripture by coming together today will be blessed accordingly. We will be blessed if we keep that scripture. This day honors God's power and spirit. And brethren, our desire and petition to God should be that He would call and grant His spirit to everyone who truly seeks Him. Do we pray about that once in a while? God, open the minds of those who are seeking You and let them see. So, just how bad do you and I want this world to understand and share in God's Spirit? And I want you to keep that thought in mind as we continue on, because I'll keep coming back to it. How bad do we want this world to understand the truth that we have by receiving God's Spirit? Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2. We always usually turn here, and being the first speaker today, I can always just pick the best scriptures of all, you know, and trample on all the speakers who are coming in after me today. But here in Acts chapter 2, we see this miraculous outpouring of God's Spirit on many on this festival, same festival day in 31 A.D. Chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that is, when the count of 50 days had arrived, they, that is, the apostles and the believers of Christ at that time, were all with one accord in one place. Very beautiful scripture there. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or in different languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this was truly a special one-time experience, a miracle involving God's Spirit. And later on, if we would continue on in Acts 2, it later mentions that 3,000 lives were changed that day. They repented, they were baptized, and they began living a new and different life in union now with God's Spirit that was now in them for the first time. We've read this special event, this whole chapter, many times, and all the words that Peter preached during this time. But I want to focus and I want to go to another time when God performed another truly miraculous event involving His Spirit. And this occurred during the time of Moses. And it gives us a rather intimate look at the heart and the desire of Moses. Moses had God's Spirit. Moses desired God's Spirit. So let's see here. Let's all turn to Numbers chapter 11. Let's read through here. I'm going to read some verses here. Follow along. This is a very special event involving God's Spirit. Now, to give you some background, you might remember that very quickly after Israel had observed their first Passover and they had departed Egypt by God's great hand, the people began to whine and complain because there was no meat to eat. You know, here they've been freed from the slavery of Egypt, and they were very quickly complaining. You know, at this point in time, all they had was manna to eat. But the people wanted more. They wanted more variety in their diet. You know, they wanted meat. So, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. Let's go down to verse 4 now. Verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them, that is Israel, yielded to intense craving or hunger. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" Verse 5. We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. You know, the people, they just couldn't take it no more. You know, they thought they were going to die. We need meat, you know, with our bread. We got to have meat. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you, God, afflicted your servant, me? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me?" Verse 13. Where am I to get meat to give to all of these people? For they weep all over me, saying, "Give us meat that we may eat." I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness, all my misery. Moses indeed was pretty stressed out at this time. Verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders," that is, the respected leaders of the people, "and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you, Moses." Verse 17, "Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and put the same spirit upon them," the 70. "And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, Moses, that you may not bear it yourself alone." Verse 18, "Then you shall say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat.'" Verse 19, "You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome or disgusting to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, 'Why did we ever come up out of Egypt?'" You know, the people as a whole were not thankful, not grateful to God for delivering them from slavery. They had forgotten all about the moaning and complaining that they did back in Egypt. God took that away from them. He brought them out. But now, after a few days in the wilderness, they wanted to go back. Verse 24. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men of elders, the 70 men of the elders of the people, and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, Moses, and placed the same spirit upon the 70 elders. And it happened, when the spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. Now here we see described a miraculous one-time event. Again, somewhat similar to what happened with the apostles on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Hebrew word translated prophesied here means to speak by inspiration, as a prophet would, to speak God's word, God's message, God's truth to the people. This special outpouring of God's Spirit to those 70 elders occurred to demonstrate to the people God's presence, God's power to everyone. There's no question that God was involved in this event. And God responded to Moses' plea by giving Moses' help. Moses, the help he needed in carrying the weight of the burden of the people. God gave Moses help. And how did he do that? By sharing and extending his Holy Spirit to others. That's how God helped Moses. He comforted Moses with his spirit. Verse 26, continuing on. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Same Spirit of Moses. Now they were among those listed, they were part of the 70, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle. Yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Stop them from prophesying like this. Verse 29. Then Moses said to him, to Joshua, are you zealous for my sake or my interests? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses returned to the camp, he and the elders of Israel. So here we see the inner heart and desire of Moses a little bit better. Moses wished that all the Israelites who were ready and mature enough to receive God's Spirit would receive it. You know, Moses was not one to covet power, and control over the people. Moses wanted everyone to have the same spirit that he had been given. He understood the power of God's Spirit, and that life with God's Spirit would be much more abundant for all of Israel. Moses had a beautiful heart. He wanted to share what God had given him. And somewhat in like manner today, we should desire and petition God to pour out His Spirit on as many as would accept it and submit themselves to it. We should never want God not to freely pour out His Spirit. So how bad, again, do we want this world to come to understand the truth that we have and to share in God's Spirit as we've been blessed with? You know, God is in the business of harvesting people for His kingdom. And today He is calling and He's cleaning up and He's transforming the mind of His first fruits who have His Spirit. Why? To make them ready, to make them a people prepared for the Lord. You know, with God, all things are possible. On any day, on any week of any month, God may bring new people through those doors to our respective churches to be a part of His body. You know, do we desire God to pour out more of His Spirit so that would happen? Moses would want that. Brethren, let's enjoy the fullness of this day. This day has many aspects to it, and we're going to hear all those this day and the messages yet to come. Let's take on the same spirit and desire and humility that Moses had. Let's use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. Let's not hide our gifts, but let's use them. God's Spirit, if we allow it, and we have to allow His Spirit to work within us, we can block it. But let's allow God's Spirit to flow. And if we do, it will give each one of us the comfort and the help that we need to live a spiritually abundant life. Let's today immerse ourselves into the spirit of this Feast of Weeks, this Day of Pentecost, this Day of First Fruits.